We've already discussed chapter 14, which is about Bibhanantakattva, or the living entity. Who he is, who we are. Now we've just begun last night, chapter 16, which is about the Buddha Jivas. Why the Jivas have come to this world and how they're suffering. And then the final chapter will come to chapter 17, which is how the Jiva gets out of mind. So this chapter is about the Mukta Jiva. So Brajnath has asked his spiritual master, Raghunath Das Babaji, why is the Jiva suffering? What are we doing in this material world? And we read his utterance of the elaborate description of the sixth slope of Das Mode about the Buddha Jiva. Remember 5, 6, and 7. So now we're on 6, the Buddha Jiva. And he read, by his original nature, the Jiva is the eternal servant of Krishna. His constitutional activity is service to Krishna and nothing else. That's what he's made of, constitutionally. His illusory energy, Maya, punishes those jivas who are opposed to him and who have forgotten or given up their constitutional religion or dharma, becoming thus absorbed in material enjoyment. She binds them with the ropes of the three modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, which we'll find out later today, are compared with three kinds of shackles, iron, silver, and gold. Those who are very independent, very opposed, and enter into the lower species of life, like animals and plants, and also the lower forms of humans, which we see a lot, especially in the West and creeping into India as well. Such living entities are shackled in iron, the iron of the mode of ignorance. Then those who are the higher forms of humans, almost demigods, they're shackled in silver shackles of the mode of passion. And then there are so many combinations of passion and ignorance, passion and goodness. And then those who are like demigods, they are shackled in gold shackles, the shackles of the mode of material goodness, which is never pure until it's transcendental. That should have a pure goodness. So we know that whether we're in an iron shackle or a gold shackle or a silver shackle, it's still painful. And the pain of confinement is there. And thus, she covers them with two kinds of prison bars, subtle and gross body. And thus, she means Maya, makes him suffer in various hells and heavens. We ended last night's class by referring to the Ferris wheel. You know the Ferris wheel at a carnival, the children ride. That sometimes the carriage is on top, sometimes it's on the bottom. And it's always kind of scary. So sometimes Maya calls, yes, we'll be happy in heaven, or you'll be happy here in gross sense gratification, and then we don't care if you go to hell. So now Babaji Mahasaya is about to explain from where the different kinds of jivas emanate. He explains that innumerable jivas emanate from Baladev Prabhu, in Goloka Vrindavan. And there immediately, we say immediately, but there's no time. They've always been eternally engaged in Krishna's services in Goloka Vrindavan, in the different rasas. Then others appear or manifest from Mool Sankarshan in Dwarka, or that is Balaram in Dwarka, or Mahasankarshan, that is Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha. And they're eternally relishing rasa. They're engaged in the different services of their worship to the Lord, according to their rules of constitution. Somebody has in his constitution that he's a servant of Narayan. This can't be changed. It can only be attained or forgotten. Somebody else has in his constitution that he's a servant of Krishna and the Goloka Vrindavan, or a servant of Radharani. This can't be changed. It can be attained, and there's no beatitude or final rest of the conditioned soul until he reaches that state of his constitution. So now the quality of these particular souls who from time immemorial, eternally, have been in the spiritual world, having been manifested by Baladev in Vrindavan or in Dwarka or in Mathura or in Vaikuntha. So the qualities of these souls are that they're always engaged in Krishna's service, they're always favorable to him. Anakulyena Krishna Anasivanam Bhakti Uttamam. They're always engaged in favorable, permanent, continued service for the pleasure of Krishna. And they're strong. Even though they're infinitesimal parts and parcels, they're strong because they've become one at heart with the Chit Shakti or Hladini Shakti, having taken shelter, having the full shelter of that spiritual Shakti. Therefore, they have the strength to remain fixed in their devotion. Not only do they never fall into Maya, but they have no idea what Maya is. They can't imagine. Just as we cannot imagine what Krishna consciousness is. They're eternally free from material happiness and distress, although they do feel the stress sometimes of separation from Krishna. But that's just another variety of happiness. Whereas for us, conditioned souls, happiness and distress are both varieties of distress. Simply recall one happiness and recall one distress. In this way, their life is love alone. They're always mad, intoxicated in their love for Krishna. They are called Ragatmika Bhaktas, either Shuddha Ragatmika Bhaktas, pure Ragatmika Bhaktas, or their Ragatmika is mixed with Aishwarya when they're a little bit, when they're in Dwarka, and a lot covered by Aishwarya, or the awe and reverence, or the sense of God's opulence. So those are the liberated jivas. This is called Vivananta Tattva. As I mentioned yesterday, Gurudev just said yesterday afternoon, when we were discussing it, this chat, Skype chat, or Sarjana Sulu, Gurudev said, technically, these liberated souls manifest by Balaram are Vivananta Tattva. So we will not call them that. We can't call them that anymore. They are, you can only call them Nitya Mukta Parika, for the eternally liberated associates of the Lord. So, those who are originally, it's so hard to use words. I feel really tongue-tied because it's not originally, eternally. Who are eternally manifest, or originally manifest from Baladeva or Lord Ryan, who were never in the Tatasthi region to choose. They are technically called Vivanasa, but really they're eternally liberated associates. And in the Tatastha region, those jivas, this is Babaji Mahasaya's next point, those innumerable jivas, atomic conscious jivas, who emanate from Baladeva's expansion of an expansion of an expansion of an expansion, called Karanadakshai Vishnu, who is lying down in the corner of the spiritual world that is covered by the Mahatattva, the 24 elements of matter. He's lying down within that region in the ocean of cause, which is sometimes called the area of the Viraja River, the river that's in between the material world and the spiritual world, which Gurudev said is not actually a substantive river, as we know of a river. It just means that it's a dividing place between matter and spirit. So they, some of them, immediately, since beginningless time, from there, having come from the gland, or the light coming from the forehead, gland, of Karanadakshai Vishnu, Mahavishnu, the causal ocean, they right away, by proper use of their independence and by their good fortune, they turn towards the spiritual world. Yogamaya immediately takes them there. Gurudev explained, no need for sadhana, bhajan, sukriti, sanskars. The very act of, from that Tatastha region, coming out of the glance of Mahavishnu, that very act of looking towards the spiritual world, Yogamaya immediately attracts them and takes them within an instant there. And that is their sanskars, their sukriti, their sadhanbhajan, everything is in that looking in that direction. So they are jivanamsajis, infinitesimal, eternal, separated, parts and parcels of the Lord. But once they look in that direction, they're also not considered jivanamsajis. They're not even considered jeeves. They're considered, they become similar or just like the Nitya Mukta Parikar, or eternally liberated associates of the Lord in Vaikuntha or Goloka Vrindavan. These jivas who manifest from Karanadakshai Vishnu and the Tatastha Shakti, they have the same quality as the eternal associates previously mentioned by the Babaji Maharaj, he said. But the problem is that because they're situated close to Maya, And because they don't have the shelter, the chit-shakti, they're very weak, and therefore they have a tendency to turn towards Maya. So if by chance, even though they don't have sufficient knowledge of the spiritual world, by proper use of their independence, they look in the right direction, they're there, and join in with the eternal great associates of the Lord, who are manifest by Baladev and or Narayan. When their manifest by Baladev and Narayan and by Kunta or Goloka Vrindavan, they're either engaged in the Lord's Madhurya pastimes, that is, his human-like sweet pastimes of spontaneous love, or they're engaged in the Aishwarya pastimes of awe and reverence, where there's no Rasa Lila, no birth, no caring for the Lord, no joking around, no wrestling. That's why when Lord Narayan had a desire for mock fighting and wrestling, he couldn't do it in Vaikuntha. So he had to create the pastime of his gatekeepers, Jayan Vijay, falling into the material world so he could fight with him there and enjoy that pleasure there. So then, Babaji Mahasaya, after talking about those jivas who manifest from Baladev or Mahasakushan, and having talked about those jivas who manifest from Mahavishnu and immediately turn towards the spiritual world and are taken right away by Yogamaya there, now he's going to be talking about the Buddha jivas, the ones who look the wrong way. Srila Gurudev gives the example of mustard seed falling on a knife, blade of a knife, the edge of the blade. When they bounce, when the mustard seeds bounce onto the blade, some pop one way and some pop the other. So this is a material analogy of the jivas who are manifest from Puranadakshaya Vishnu, Mahavishnu, some turning towards the spiritual world and being attracted by Yogamaya, and some turning towards the material world and being instantly attracted by Mahamaya. It's a material analogy, and therefore there are not 100% similar points. What's not similar about it is that the mustard seeds have no independence and no consciousness. But they do have just a moment to choose. Krishna, in his form of Lord Narayan, Puranadakshaya Vishnu, tells those Devanamsa jeeves, okay, you can look whichever way you want, it depends on you. I'm giving you a moment to choose. But it's not the moment like we have. It's a moment that another spirit finds. So is that clear so far, as much as material words heard by material ears going into material mind can be? So now, among these unlimited jivas, he says that those who want to enjoy Maya, as soon as they look towards Maya, Maya captures them, puts them in the mode of nature, dazzles them in her phantasmagoria of phantasms, that is, her treasure chest of wondrous magic shows and colorful lantern shows, and bewilders us by illusions that appear as truth, one after the other. This is my mommy. I was just born. This is my mom. Like that. Now I'm going. Now I'm going to the English planet. Oh, now I've just turned into a worm, and I'm in Sri Bhojana planet, and I'm eating other worms, and they're eating me. So, because we forget, again, the word forget is not valid, but so we have. Because we forget and turn away from Krishna, that puts us in ignorance. The cause of ignorance is forgetfulness. And the cause of and ignorance is the cause of sinful activities. Ignorance is caused by forgetfulness of Krishna, and ignorance is the cause of sinful activities, or is the cause of desire to enjoy sense gratification, which is the cause of sinful activities. So sinful activities are caused by the desire to enjoy gross sense gratification, which is caused by ignorance. That desire is caused by ignorance, which is caused by forgetfulness of Krishna, the turning away from being Krishna Bhadir Mukha. So now Bhagavanath is asking, okay, I understand that this marginal point, well, somebody may ask, and even more so later, if you don't ask, I'm going to ask it for you right now, and see if that question comes up in your own mind. It really has a tendency to come up when Rajanath starts asking questions full of doubt. That is, why did Krishna create this pastime of suffering for the jivas? Couldn't he have figured out a different way to get them purified? Do they have to go through all the species? So my doubt arose, my question arose, that it doesn't seem fair that certain jivas were manifest by Baladeva and Mahasankarshan in Goloka Vrindavan and Vaikuntha. And right away, they got their service. They didn't have to worry about making the wrong choice. Why is it that we were one of the ones, we were some of the ones, were the ones who were chosen by Krishna to come out of this Karanadakshaya Vishnu, where we'll be very weak? So I was thinking, and the answer had to come, because Gurudev had ordered me yesterday to come up with the answer to what kind of, because I asked Gurudev a question, and he said that I have to discover the answer from Jagadharma and tell him the answer. What kind of jiva, what kind of tattva or shakti is the jiva that manifests from Baladeva? So my question became, why did that kind of jiva manifest there? Why did we have to be those kind of jivas that were created by Krishna to be so weak? So because I was ordered by Gurudev to come up with the answer was there in Jagadharma. And it was such a relief, because I was getting mad. I was angry. Which is actually why I'm one of the jivas here. The very question is also the answer. Because the jivas who are manifest by Baladeva are the same jivas. It's all Bhivanamsatattva. If you want to look at it technically, as it says here, number 5 of Dasmodhatattva, right? The Bhivanamsajiv is the eternal separated part and parcel. Number 6, some are liberated and some are conditioned. Number 6, some are conditioned, and number 7, the liberated ones are free from mind. Right? So this means that Baladeva or Krishna knew in advance what our desire would be. They don't interfere with our desire, but they know in advance what it would be. So it's the same jiva Here it says, the jivas that came out of Purana Dakshaya Vishnu have the same quality of the one that I mentioned earlier. The one Guruji mentioned earlier, the one that manifests from Baladeva and Mahasankarsha. Same quality. That means that why did they come out of Baladeva? Because right away, from the beginning of their creation, even though they're not created, they're eternal, so it's hard to read words, they had a mad desire by total proper use of their independence. Right away, without even thinking about it, they wanted Krishna. And then, so therefore they were manifest there to serve. They were qualified to serve. And they immediately, excuse me for using the word immediately because there's no time, got the shelter of, so they always had the shelter of Chit Shakti, which gave them the strength to be fixed in their devotion. Whereas the next one had somewhat less. And this is confirmed in the recent Badger morning walk, which we'll get soon. Janava. Where Gurudev said that everything depends on Krishna's desire, and it also depends on how much, on the degree of independence, the gradation of independence desired by the jiva. If the jiva wants a lot of independence, then he goes in one place. If he wants a little bit of independence, separate from Krishna, then he goes to another place. But one who fully has a mad desire to serve Krishna, he's right away, excuse me for using the word right away, which is a time moment, gets manifested from Balaram. Understand, for this, no one offends. It was up to our independence, yes. Are you talking about the jivas who were manifest from Baladeva and Mahasankarsha? They never went through any annihilation. They never knew and will never know what is Maya. I don't know how to speak because I have to use the word beginning. But they were manifest from Baladeva in Goloka Vrindavan. There was no before that. They were manifested, their existence came into existence. That those jivas who were manifested by the glands of Purana Dakshaya Vishnu, they, some of them, immediately without any annihilation, as soon as they were created, you could say, from Prasasya Shakti immediately looked towards Goloka Vrindavan, no need of annihilation. Now, what? Could you explain it? Now you're only talking about those jivas. I just want to confirm. You're now only speaking about those jivas who came out of the glands of Purana Dakshaya Vishnu and made the wrong choice to come to the material world, right? Is that what you're speaking about? Well, that's the only one that it sounds like to me. Because the other two kinds, the kinds that came from Purana Dakshaya Vishnu and did not make the wrong choice to come here, but they immediately went to Goloka Vrindavan because they looked in the right direction. They never went through any annihilation. The ones who came from Baladeva or Mahasankarsha never went through any annihilation. So you must be speaking about the ones who make a wrong choice and from then on have been rotating through the species. Another one? Okay. Yes? Yes? Your question is, if we have a desire to be independent before we were manifest, you know it ahead of time. We can't say before. We can't say before. Because we were originally manifest there. The whole thing takes place outside of material time. And that's why it's called from beginningless time. Time immemorial. Time that cannot be calculated. We can't think of before the jiva came into the Tattva Shakti. That's where we came. It's hard to speak. It's hard to use the word. My understanding from here is that was the beginning, although it's beginningless time. You can ask your question as long as it's about the jivas that are in the material world. Okay. Now you can speak about time now. Right.
So,
into Mahavishnu. Right. Right. Oh, so your question is, once the jiva is liberated, is he then manifest by Baladev in the spiritual world? Well, what we understand from Gurudev's lectures and various writings is that when he reaches the stage of mature bhava, his bhakti reaches that stage, then he takes birth on any of the planets that Krishna happens to be in, performing his pastime in any particular universe. And there he takes birth in the womb of a gopi. And then his bhakti city begins. And you could say it's by the mercy of Baladev, because Baladev is the Karnaguru Tattva. And the Guru is the manifestation of Baladev. But we can't say that it's manifest from Baladev like those other ones. Doubtful state? What do you mean by doubtful state?
I hear the Bhagavatam somewhere, and I want to that you for like
this. I never heard of the word doubtful state.
It's a doubtful state of mind.
I don't know what doubtful state means.
When there's much doubt, yes.
There's doubt in Krishna.
Yes, doubt in Krishna, doubt in the spiritual natural.
Yeah.
When there is a doubt about serving or surrender, that this is a condition of the heart, which is not neither Maya nor Krishna.
In the Tattva, those jivas who turned away from Krishna and looked towards Maya, they get wrapped up in all the doubts. From that same tattva, the jiva can look right away towards Krishna and Yogamaya immediately takes them there. If by chance they don't have sufficient knowledge and they're very weak and minute, but if by chance, by use of their independence, first comes independence, so you say, then they immediately go there. But all the doubt and confusion comes as soon as the jiva looks in the direction away from Krishna towards Maya. Then everything becomes confused. By that comes the jiva, and we'll read about it more now for the next couple of minutes. So Bhagavan is asking, why is it that some jivas go from the Kshatriya region to the spiritual world, and some jivas come to this material world? And again, Babaji Mahasaya explains that it's only due to the jiva's independence. And then he asks, now these doubtful questions. Since Krishna is all merciful, why did he make the jiva so weak that he would become entangled in Maya? So Babaji Mahasaya answers, Krishna is Karunamaya, that means he's full of mercy, but he's also full of pastime. So why should Krishna, who's full of all varieties of pastimes, why shouldn't he have the pastime of creating the material world and having jivas to grow into it? Then there would be something absent in the completeness of Krishna's pastime if one pastime is missing. Everything has to be there for Krishna to be complete and to have complete energy. Somebody once asked our Prabhupada, why is the material world here? So Prabhupada answered, because God is there, therefore his energy is there. This is one of God's energies. He has to have all varieties of energy. And without this material world, the jiva who turns away from Krishna can't gradually come to Krishna. So therefore Maya, another meaning of Maya, is also mercy. The material world and all the cycles of 8,400,000 species of life is all Krishna's mercy. Just like a goldsmith purifies the contaminated rock which contains the gold in it by burning and hammering. So Krishna, by his agency, through his mind, hammers the conditioned soul on the anvil, or the hammering plate, of the material world in order to purify it. Then Bhagavad Gita asks, why did he have to give us independence in the first place, if we have such a propensity to use it, misuse it? So he was thinking of independence as a negative thing. Okay, just say one more sentence. So we'll continue tomorrow, but Babaji Mahasaya explained that actually independence is a valuable jewel. Without this jewel, one is inert matter. That inert matter has no independence, and that's what makes it inert. So without your independence, you'd be just like inert matter. But your great fortune, given by the great mercy of Krishna, is that you're a conscious being, and you have the choice to go to him. And he's so merciful that he's willing to go to the depths of the material world to get you. And why are you in the material world in the depths, as a crocodile or as a snail? Because you wanted it. We wanted it. We had a desire to enjoy that depth. So we'll end here. So Babaji Mahasaya is saying there's no fault in Krishna, the fault is in the jiva. And we'll continue with that so that we can develop our sense of responsibility, without which we can't get out once we take the responsibility. So, okay, Ko Premanandi Hari Go Shila Gurudev Ki Jai, Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Shri Jai Vadarva Ki Jai, Shila Bhakti Vinod Thakur Ki Jai, Shri Babaji Maharaj Ki Jai, Shri Rajanath Ki Jai, Ko Premanandi Hari Go. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai, Shri Jai Satchinandan Gaur Hari Ki Jai.
Say anybody? Shashi is Shakshi is gonna? Shakshi is gonna?
He'll give it a go, I said.